This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening concert with a world-renowned cellist, a sound adventure at the Contemporary Arts Center, a unique look backstage at Voodoo Fest, or maybe you want to cultivate a green thumb. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. For acclaimed cellist Yo-Yo Ma, it's all about making connections and communicating with audiences as he returns to New Orleans for a performance of Elgar's Cello Concerto with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra.
I can't wait to be back.
Ma loves this city and hopes to connect with post-Katrina audiences on a spiritual level.
I so admire the spirit of people who live in New Orleans, who cope with so many different kinds of adversity, and just goes on. It's an incredible culture.
Ma believes the Elgar Cello Concerto will be especially meaningful to local audiences.
I think mainly in the piece that we're playing, really about someone looking at a whole life with a panoramic survey of life that's filled with observations, longing, regret, beautiful moments, and questioning, fighting, accepting. You know, it's a very human story. And I think through those sounds of the Elgar Concerto, I think the best I can do is to try and bring all of what I've seen in life and experienced and to share that and find resonance in all the things that people in the audience have seen and heard and experienced and lived through, and to have that moment of mutual recognition.
Ma says he finds strength in this meeting of minds and souls.
To me, it's such a sacred ritual. You know, you go in front and you allow yourself to be really present and vulnerable, and your strength comes from the vulnerability.
Ma says the Cello Concerto was one of Elgar's last works, written after World War I.
It's not a bleak story, but it is a very stoic view of the world, but it's filled with courage, and I think listening to that work gives us a kind of energy and spirit and encouragement to go on and face whatever we need to face.
Ma was born into a musical family in the mid-1950s. The Chinese musician began playing the cello before entering kindergarten, but it was not his instrument of choice.
I started the violin. I was hopeless. I was five, and then I wanted to play the double bass because it was the biggest. And I was too little, so the cello was the next largest. So my whole relationship with the cello was a compromise. I think my parents made me promise not to switch again.
The acclaimed musician has won numerous awards, but the one closest to his heart, he says, is...
I think at the end of everything, if I get a compliment from my family, that's the greatest award and reward.
Yo-Yo Ma will connect with audiences as he plays Elgar's Cello Concerto on the 1712 Davidoff Stradivarius with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Carlos Miguel Prieto, Friday, October 26th, 8 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. Also on the program, Respighi's Pines of Rome and Three Movements by Reich. Across town at the CAC, Contemporary Arts Center, an audio journey of a different nature may stimulate your imagination. Cinema Reset, an exhibition of constantly evolving streams of experimental film and multimedia work, takes a prominent place throughout the first floor of the CAC, directed and curated by Blake Berticelli. Included in this presentation is a surround sound installation which focuses on how sound is used as a storytelling device. It is the brainchild of Giorgio Berticelli, Blake's father and sound designer Dean Hovey. Giorgio Berticelli's creative background began in his father's papier-mâché studios, where the fantastic creatures of Mardi Gras came to life. It was there that he began to build his own percussion instruments and experiment with sound. He sits down with Sharon Litwin to talk about his new installation.
I would guess most of us take the daily sounds that surround us so completely for granted that ordinary noises are things we never question, like the blowing of the wind or those long-since accepted creaks of an old house. In the movie world, however, sound is serious business, the responsibility of specialized professionals. They ensure the accurate sound of a particular visual action. Think click of a glass placed on a table or footsteps leading up to a closed door. Or they fill in sound design behind dialogue in ways our subconscious minds never question. Some of the best of these oral artists went to school to learn their skill. Others taught themselves.
You can go to school, certainly, to learn the engineering part of audio, and there are several schools that are really good at that. But like everything that's been around for the last, say, 10, 15, 20 years, a lot of the technical aspects of audio have been self-taught by a lot of people. Because it's on a computer now. So you can have it in your home and you can learn bit by bit. And certainly with things like YouTube, there are tons of tutorials you can learn from.
That's Giorgio Berticelli, a New Orleanian of Italian background whose youthful efforts at music composition were followed by a fascination with sound in all its forms, all of which began in his family's Mardi Gras float building warehouse.
I worked with my father in my father's shop, making Mardi Gras floats. As I got older in the shop, I was more interested in the sounds that would happen in a large warehouse. If a hammer would fall or a piece of wood would strike a float, I just loved the thud. I loved the reverberation that you could hear in the hall that was the warehouse. And so I started building my instruments, but all of my instruments were somewhat atonal. They dealt more from an aspect of sound into music instead of music using sound.
Before long, Giorgio was using his self-taught sound skills in the few movies being shot here in the 1980s. Then left for Hollywood, where he worked on high-end television commercials as well as shows like Friends. But home is home, and since there's a thriving movie industry here now, he's back and plans to open his own sound studio with his partner Dean Hovey. Right now, though, they are installing a unique sound design, part of the Cinema Reset exhibition at the Contemporary Arts Center.
So what Dean Hovey and I are doing is we are setting up a small corner, an oral experience, and it is going to take almost the acoustical elements of a film and take them apart from the visual, because you have so much visual there and really have no visual but just the acoustical experience. What you just heard was part of what's going to be about an hour worth of sound experiences. And this specific piece was The Old World Meets the New World in more of an abstract dream. And it's sort of a human mind expression of ancient nature, modern man, and sort of like the usual constant struggle of man with the elements and each other. There's a lot of tension and release. It sort of displays what can be done with sound as a storytelling device.
No question about it. To truly appreciate the idea of sound as a storytelling device, you're just going to have to go to the CAC stand in the surround sound installation there and let your mind wander. It will be different. For more information on Giorgio Berticelli and his new sound venture in New Orleans, go to wwno.org or nolavie.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
How cool is that? Cinema Reset, New Media Works at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street, through December 2nd. The Contemporary Arts Center's gallery exhibitions are now free to Louisiana residents. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm your host, Diane Mack. WWNO's fall membership drive is in full swing, and we need your help. Your call right now to 800-286-7002 or your pledge online at WWNO.org will help us raise the money needed to pay for all of your favorite programs on WWNO. Please call with a membership contribution that's right for you. Inside the Arts has been expanded to a half-hour program, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. The number to call with your support is 800-286-7002 or pledge online at WWNO.org. It is so important that we hear from you. Thanks. The 2012 Voodoo Experience, a three-day music and art celebration known as Voodoo Fest, kicks off Halloween weekend in New Orleans. Headliners include Metallica, Neil Young and Crazy Horse, and Skrillex, to name just a few. We went behind the scenes for a different view as acclaimed photographer Zach Smith captures photos backstage of local and national performers in his exhibit, Exit Stage Right.
Anytime I click the shutter, anytime I capture a moment, that becomes a time capsule.
2012 marks the fifth year local photographer Zach Smith is creating portraits showcasing local and national musicians amid the backdrop of the Voodoo Music and Arts Experience, a cultural document of artists that shape our musical landscape. Among the thousands of people who flock to the festival in City Park, Smith finds a quiet spot, if you can imagine that, for his impromptu studio.
It moves every year. I kind of don't know exactly where it's going to be every year. I know that it's going to be behind the Preservation Hall tent at Voodoo Fest, and that location seems to change a little bit. So I've gotten pretty good at adapting to my environment in that if I have an oak tree as a proper background, a fence, a big white side of a tent, or I build my own custom backdrop. What I need to do is create a quiet place where the musicians can feel like they're off the stage, away from fans or away from the noise and the hustle and bustle of such a large festival, and feel comfortable with me, with a backdrop. So no matter where it is, I've got to create that. The idea for Exit Stage Right was basically just to put a marker down of where I was in this project.
What you'll see in the exhibit is 30 portraits from 4 years of backstage photography that will hang on the hallowed walls of Preservation Hall.
The local set is well represented. I've shot Walter Wolfman a few times. Irma Thomas comes by a couple times. I've shot Alex McMurray every year, I think. Some of the guys from Galactic, Ben Elman, Jonathan Frelick comes by every year. Jim James from My Morning Jacket, who was in town touring with Preservation Hall, he stopped by for a portrait one time, which was great. Voice of the Wetlands, Anders Osborne, and a lot of musicians slash friends slash, creators of art. There's people who are in four or five different groups. The Noisician Coalition, which consists of 30 to 40 people, and their various organizations that are in there. It's a good cross-section of traditional New Orleans, jazz to blues, to experimental, to rock, to singer-songwriter. It's pretty much a little bit of everything, a little bit of everybody.
The portraits are displayed in a manner in keeping with the rustic nature of Preservation Hall.
I'm taking the images and mounting them on a stained and polyurethane sheet of Luon wood. And once I do that, I'm going to seal the images to the wood. That gives a nice, earthy, natural effect to the image. And I also felt that having a more textured background and a more original background worked better in the Preservation Hall corridor. There's just so much history and so much dust, good dust, musical dust, and texture there that I think adds well to the images being displayed like this.
The portraits are also the subject of an accompanying coffee table style book of the same name. Smith, who is originally from Lafayette, found his calling in photography while studying courses in broadcast journalism back in the 1990s at LSU. His stars aligned when he got the opportunity to work with the late great photographer Herman Leonard.
I was just a sponge with him. Everything he said, everything he did, I locked it away up here because I knew that one day I'd have to use something like that to do what I wanted to do. He's with me on every photo shoot I do. He really is. Truly an inspiration.
Smith will continue his Exit Stage Right project this year in City Park as he photographs musicians backstage at Voodoo Fest. Zach Smith's exhibit, Exit Stage Right, opens Friday at Preservation Hall, 726 St. Peter in the French Quarter. The exhibit is open nightly from 8 until 11 p.m. through November 26th. The exhibit is free, and you can see it without waiting in the performance lobby. Do you have a green thumb? Are you interested in the art of gardening? Well, lessons about food, sustainability, and community are taking root in urban farming plots across the city. And NOLA Green Roots is helping develop a network among them. WWNO's Ian McNulty, who produces our community impact series, filed this report.
New Orleans resident Anastasia Joyner had a certain reputation for her way in the garden, and it was decidedly not as a green thumb.
My husband and my mother would bring home different plants, and I would try to help them out, and they finally banned me from the plants.
But on one sunny morning recently, Joyner was working at Wise Words Community Garden, a former vacant lot on a mid-city side street where vegetables now flourish, chickens balk and cluck, and lessons about food, about sustainability, and about community are taking root.
We get to meet so many people from a diverse background and learn about each other's strengths and weaknesses and pull upon the strengths and work upon the weaknesses. I've met some of my best girlfriends working in the gardens.
Wise Words Community Garden is one of six urban farming plots under the umbrella of NOLA Green Roots. Founded in 2008, this nonprofit turns vacant lots into community gardens. It offers garden training to school children and adults. And it's part of an emerging composting program for local restaurants, households, and other gardens.
Folks always ask, is NOLA Green Roots a community garden? No, we're just the engine that actually works with these community gardens.
That's Joseph Brock, founder and director of NOLA Green Roots. He says the group's mission can be boiled down to four words.
Sustainable communities through gardens. And so the only way we're going to be sustainable is by learning and by teaching folks how to do it. And so that's what we just use. We just use the garden to do it.
NOLA Green Roots helps local community gardens develop with technical assistance, workshops, and a new software tool called Garden Manager, which tracks garden yields and distribution, volunteer participation, and other data. The group also pools the efforts of these small gardens to help them make the biggest impact. Residents can pay a monthly fee to become members of NOLA Green Roots. They agree to volunteer their time helping maintain their local gardens, and in return, they receive a share of the produce from all of the gardens in its network.
And so it has to be a joint effort. If there's one little bitty community garden like we've once had, it's very difficult to feed so many people. But being together helps us to feed a lot of people. Well, what's so unique about it is the sense of knowing your neighbor. That's the whole purpose of this. Knowing your neighbor, plus knowing where your vegetables actually come from.
That's been important to Anastasia Joyner, too, who says she's concerned about pesticides and genetically modified foods, and now takes real pride in bringing food to her family that she has had a direct hand in growing.
And my family is eating so much healthier. We always go towards the basket product first, and then only fill in from the grocery stores. through NOLA Green Roots, I'm able to eat naturally grown produce, herbs, and some of the best eggs I've ever had in my life. I look forward to the eggs every single time.
Learn more about NOLA Green Roots at WWNO.org. For WWNO, I'm Ian McNulty.
You can learn more at NOLAGreenRoots.com. The Community Impact Series is made possible with support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. The shops at the Upper Pontalba present Bon Appetit on the balcony. Concerts are held above 520 St. Peter Street at the shops at the Upper Pontalba on Jackson Square. Arrive early as seating is limited. The first concert will feature the spooky songs of the Phantom of the Opera by Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's Friday, October 26th from 5 to 6 p.m. The Montage Fine and Performing Arts Series at Loyola University will present cellist Yo-Yo Ma in a masterclass on Saturday, October 27th at 10 a.m. in Roussel Hall, located in the Communications Music Complex on the corner of St. Charles Avenue and Calhoun Street. The event is free and open to the public, but a ticket is required to attend. Tickets can be reserved online at montage.loyno.edu. Opera on Tap features a selection of songs from the upcoming production of Barber of Seville tomorrow night at Four Points Sheridan French Quarter, formerly the Inn on Bourbon, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at 541 Bourbon Street in the Puccini Bar. Special parking rates are available for this event. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next week at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.